This podcast is a member of the WrestleJoy Podcasting Network. Visit WrestleJoy.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as interviews, show reviews, articles, and more, as we bring out the joy in the wrestling world today.
It's the Sauce Alex Zane.
This is the Babe of the Bayou, Brittany Nicole.
This is Ray Fury here.
This is the Glitch in the System, Jay Walker. And you're listening.
And you are watching.
And you're listening.
And you're listening
to the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast.
To the Bald Monkeys Podcast.
And the Bald Monkeys Podcast.
And to the Bald Monkeys Podcast. Geek, geek.
Whenever you're listening to this, welcome to the internet's most sophisticated wrestling podcast, discussing the weekly aspects of it all, right here on
the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast. I am Christopher, and we're back with another great interview. I brought the captain, Captain Chuckles. How we doing?
I am lovely tonight. I am very excited for our interview.
Very excited about this interview tonight. With us tonight, the Reverend of Sin Rising. Welcome to the Bald Monkeys Podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys taking time out of your very busy schedules to allow me to confess some of the things of my own. Usually I'm on the other side of the wall listening to confession. So this is a breath of fresh air.
Never been on this side of the wall, but it's going to be interesting. And we look forward to spending some time and letting the world know a little bit more about Rising. So we'll start the interview like we always do. What was young Rising like?
Young Rising is, he was pretty much like any other kid. So basically I became a fan when I was 5 years old, maybe even younger. Really, I don't know how far the memory goes back, but literally as young as I can remember, I was enamored with the world of professional wrestling. I was born in 1986, which is right in the start of like the WrestleMania era. So you had, you know, all of the colorful figures. You had Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, of course. And so I was just enamored. I was just sucked into that culture at a very young age and have been a fanatic ever since.
The good old days.
Yes. When I was about five, I started collecting the Hasbro figures, and I would take, you know, when you would take the sodas and they had like the little six packs and they had like a cardboard bottom to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I would just take those, I would flip them upside down, and I would put pencils in all four corners and some rubber bands, and I would construct a ring up until about when I was, maybe 8 or 9, and they released the Hasbro King of the Ring, which was a yellow ring. I didn't know it at the time, but evidently today a lot, because there's some, around Christmas every year, I post on social media that picture of me holding that. As like one of my most prized possessions. And you would be surprised how many comments I get saying how rare that particular wrestling ring was.
It's like the holy grail of wrestling rings. Yeah, that thing's no
joke. I just
screwed
the shit out of it.
I never would have thought of flipping a soda like crate over, like the cardboard box over to actually do that. That's ingenious.
Thank you. Well, I had to be very creative when I was younger. We didn't have a lot of money. I had just a few Hasbro figures to start my collection. I believe the Rockers were probably my first set. And then I just kind of mishmashed and pieced other wrestlers together whenever. But that ring was, you know, hard to come by affordable-wise. So I had to be creative and use what was around the house. And but it made one hell of a good ring, and I was a pretty good artist, so I would draw the WWF logo on there and everything.
So that's really cool. I may or may not be hunting on eBay right now for a lot of those figures. May or may not be doing that.
It's crazy. I have probably everybody in the collection at one point, and an Ultimate Warrior briefcase that all the figures laid in. And just over the years, breaking, the fingers would always break off. And, yeah. If you know now what you would have known then, I would have been a little, I would have been a little more gentle with all of those figures.
I never would have opened up any of my Star Wars figures that I got from like one of the first or second issues from Empire Strikes Back on.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you can't possibly imagine the amount of money you could have made if you had just taken care of them. But hey, your kids. I mean, that's what you were meant. That's what they were meant. So they served their purpose because I wrecked the shit out of this.
You're supposed to play with the stuff.
Yes, it's supposed to come out of the package, Chuck.
I know.
But yes. So as I said, a fan forever. My grandmother actually had custody of me, which pretty much alludes to, you know, she didn't have a lot of money. She was a single grandmother and took custody of myself, my older brother, and younger sister. And you know, bless her for it. But she, to her credit, she also kept all of my schoolwork from a young age as well. So there was actually, I still have them here at my house, all of the documents from kindergarten on up where I said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a professional wrestler. So it's really been ingrained in my mind from the very get-go.
Watching wrestling as a young kid and looking up to those wrestlers and wanting to be one, who was the one that stood out as your favorite wrestler?
Well, you know, early on, it was all about the flash and the color. So I was a big Ultimate Warrior fan. You know, Macho Man was obviously up there as well. Just the eccentric, wild personalities really, you know, captured my imagination when I was younger. Once I became a little more with it as far as becoming more of a fan and understanding the business a little more, the cheers, the boos, and all of that stuff. Bret the Hitman Hart is by far my all-time favorite professional wrestler through and through. And so I was always a Bret Hart.
It's interesting how as a kid you grow up with and the colors grab your eye, but then as you grow more intelligent, I guess is the word, or just more used to what's going on in wrestling, you change. And something changes and mature. That's a good word.
Mature.
And you find out that maybe that's not your favorite wrestler. Maybe somebody else stands out. Now, you start getting into wrestling. What made you or who made you want to wrestle?
Well, again, I as I was coming up, there was no other doubt in my mind. I didn't know where. I didn't know how. I didn't know what steps it took. Nobody does at that age. I just was obsessed. Absolutely, there was going to be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I was going to become a professional wrestler. I know people have their mindset when they're young. I'm going to be a fireman. I'm going to be a policeman. You know, all the normal stuff that they see out there. I literally had no other doubts. Wow. Once again, we became more mature, as you guys had mentioned. I became... as I said, a fanatic of Bret Hart and then Shawn Michaels, of course, who caught the attention of so many young teens or young men. And there you go. and so just seeing those guys perform, there was just no other doubt in my mind. But at least given their size and everything, I was like, okay, so these are, you know, a couple of gentlemen that I could watch. And then, of course, as we proceed into the life of Ryzen, the Hardys obviously played a huge role in my early teen years or later teen years, right before I decided I'm going to start training to become a professional wrestler. They were the hottest thing going at that time. And so literally, I would say the vast majority of people in my era of getting trained were big Hardy fanatics, especially those who were emulating what they saw on TV and then saw, oh, these Hardy boys did the exact same thing. So I think that was a great influence as well.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Christopher, he was a big Hardy fan. And I at the time that we were doing some of these things, I was a big Brock Lesnar fan. Mm. And I thoroughly enjoyed giving Christopher an F5 here or there numerous times in numerous different places.
That's awesome.
Some of that backyard / living room wrestling.
Oh, yes. I think everybody who's a wrestling fan is guilty of it, regardless of what they say. And even backyard wrestling, you know, I know gets a bad rap, but I think if you do it, if you did it safe, and if you, what we really did, me and my buddies, we really just emulated what we saw through the video games. And we also knew that there was an actual setup for it. So instead of just beating up each other with weed whackers and throwing people through fire tables and all the crazy stuff that backyard wrestling gets a bad rap for, we were actually really trying to emulate what we saw on TV and just trying to hone our craft before we could either financially afford to go to a school or everything else. We just said, hey, if we could get good here, then once we actually pay that tuition, we weren't blind to the fact that we did have to get into a wrestling school. So once we realized that.
How do you get into that? So how did that happen? How do you get into, I now need to train, and what opens the door for you at that point?
Well, right around that time became, of course, the wave of the internet. So being able to look things up, looking up wrestling schools. I'm from Colorado originally. Now I live in Orlando, Florida. So back then there wasn't very many schools, but there was a little newspaper called The Westward, and they actually one time they had advertised Extreme and Total Chaos Professional Wrestling School, and as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, there it is, and I was like, that's the school I'm gonna go to. And even when I was younger, I was about 15, I actually had my grandmother take me over to that school, and they were like, well, he's a little young yet, but I was hell-bent and determined to get into that school. So I ended up signing all the waivers and getting everything taken care of. But really, I was probably too young to do it because I basically was the punching bag and the crash test dummy for a lot of the younger men that were like, man, this guy's easy to powerbomb and F5 and throw around. So I really did take quite a bit of abuse at an age I probably wasn't. So I walked away until I was a little more mature and then really dove in at 7.
Now, recently, we have teamed with WrestleJoy. Everybody wants to bring out the happiness, you know, what they enjoy about wrestling and everything. Now, even though you're a sinner,
I was going to say, it doesn't get any more joyful than what you're looking at. Right,
we here. Know that, you know, there has to be things that motivate you, that bring you happiness. You know, what is the thing that you look forward to that makes you happy, you know, every time that you get to go to another show, to get in the ring, to start a match, to cut a promo, all that stuff? You know, where is the happiness there, even though you're a sinner?
Well, you know, I guess I'll start there. You know, just because I'm a reverend of sin doesn't mean, you know, that my life is, you know, all darkness and clouds and things like that. I think that is a misconception of the satanic culture and all of that kind of stuff, which is a whole different discussion for a whole different time. But really, I am a beacon of positivity in real life. Everything I do, I have a very strong mindset. I have a firm belief in myself, and everything, you know, I believe a lot in the law of attraction, and what I put out, I bring back into my life and all of that stuff. So when it comes to professional wrestling, again, it was an obsession. It is an obsession. It's all I've ever wanted to do in my life. And so just the joy of living out my dream and continuing to break barriers that the young me would have his mind blown if I was able to go back and set that young man down and say, you're going to do all of these incredible things. And I'm sure we'll scratch the surface of some of those things here shortly. But just some of the great things that when you're young and you're getting fed, you know, your goals and stuff are unrealistic, and there's teachers and things telling you, well, you need to have a backup plan. You need to get ready to get a real job, you know, and things like that. It's, you know, obviously disheartening, but again, with that beacon of positivity and knowing that I have a strong mindset, nothing was going to stop me. And then now the proof is in the pudding. So
And I think everybody has heard that at some point in time, like, don't be a daydreamer. Yeah, we know you want to be an astronaut, you know, but, you know, you gotta bring it down to, like, do you really, like, come on, you want to be a teacher. You want to be, you know, you want to be a business owner. No, shoot for the stars. And again, you know, yet again, we hear this is our, I don't even know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth interview with, you know, with wrestlers. And again, the hustle, the time, putting the effort in, saying, no, you know what? I'm not going to listen to my fifth grade teacher who said, you know, you shouldn't really want to be a wrestler. You should want to be X, Y, and Z. And right. Just casting that aside and saying, no, I'm going to do it. I know I can do it. I have it in my heart. It's what makes me happy. It's what I enjoy. So I'm going to push and do it.
Absolutely.
Which is 100%. Awesome. Now, some of you out there might recognize the vessel, the image that you see in front of you on your screen while watching our podcast. And that could be because, Ryzen, you did a little work with a gentleman named Matt Hardy.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, some bum.
Damascus.
Oh, that's right.
That's the name that might ring a bell.
Yes.
Yeah, we have Heat, Damascus, and I.
Now, how did all of that come about with Matt? What was it like working with him and kind of getting in the head of Hardy and everything?
Well, you know, to kind of take a step back, going back to the independents, I had really started to accelerate in the independent market in Colorado. I had really hit a glass ceiling as far as everything I could do there. I was at the pinnacle of the Colorado wrestling industry, and I would travel. Unfortunately, the way that Colorado is, any local promotion or any promotion outside of the state was minimum 7 hours each direction. So it wasn't just like, you know, Colorado fortunately has a pretty good pack of independent promotions. But yeah, to go anywhere in each direction, it would take 7 hour drives, which I did week in to week out, just like any aspiring wrestler should or would. Really started gaining some notoriety. I had went out to Canada, had wrestled quite a bit in Canada, and they put a lot of faith in this handsome devil. And so I had done a lot. I had wrestled Kazarian, Colt Cabana, teamed with the Honky Tonk Man, wrestled Jerry Lynn, wrestled Butch Reed. I was like wrestling all of these talents. And once Matt actually became a free agent, he started working the independents back in, you know, 2012, 2013. And it was just a great storm of timing put us together. We briefly talked and stuff in our personal lives, like over Twitter and things of that nature. But this was really an opportunity in November of 2013, where him and I were able to come together and clash in a main event sold out show at this Primos Hardcore Wrestling in Colorado. And to Matt's credit, he accepted a ladder match, which is something that I don't think that he probably did for a lot of independent talent. And so not only that, but him and I, we had great chemistry and we tore the house down. So I think we had just built our relationship from there to the point to where when Free the Delete had come, you know, around and we had stayed in conversation, the vision, he is quite the visionary. And he does great things.
Great mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And so once he had come up with this vision of what he saw Free the Delete becoming, it was, you know, part of his brainchild that my current character and everything that I was portraying in the independent world, as you see here, fit perfectly into that storyline. So it was just, we were able to make it work, and the rest is history.
Well, what's interesting is if we go back even further, we talk about the grind and the hustle and everything, and you were adamant you were going to be a wrestler. How did you keep motivated and go through that? Because wrestled in a bunch of places. You even had a bit of some time in NXT. I mean, you've been around a little bit. So how do you stay motivated? How do you keep pushing yourself to stay on top of it, to get you to a point to even have the opportunity to wrestle a Matt Hardy and to work a program with Matt Hardy?
Well, it really does. It takes a toll. It's not for everybody. You have the ups and the downs and everything. I'm sure every wrestler that you guys have interviewed have echoed a lot of the same sentiments. And then again, when I first broke into the business, it was, you're too skinny. You need to bulk up. You're never going to make it. You have no muscle or different things like that. It's just, there's a lot of naysayers. There are a lot of people that will intentionally put, doubt in your mind and things of that nature. So it's just perseverance. It's having a strong mindset. And as Matt would say, never say die attitude. You got to have all of those things. You got to have, but literally no self-doubt. Even if a little bit of doubt creeps in, you're ruined. So I've had an unhealthy ego, I guess, about myself for something where I felt that I could do and I could accomplish anything and nobody was going to stand in my way. So every time I did checkmark one of those things off my list, it was just one of those like, hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. It was just a matter of time before I brought it full circle. For instance, when I first started training, I was their punching bag, and they would go, come on, you Hardy boy. Come on, you think you're the Hardys? Come on, you know, all that. And look at me now. Now I am the only man. Your Reverend Sin is the only guy to ever defeat Matt Hardy at the Hardy compound. So, again, it's nobody can take that claim. At least not yet, except for me.
I wish someone would have told me at some point in time that I'm too skinny, but unfortunately that's not in my cards, people. That's not in my cards. Now, we saw that Matt kind of broke you.
Yes.
At the end of Free the Delete. Uh-huh. And it must have been defeating, it got you down. Didn't make you feel good. However, you keep on going. Now, there are some possible rumors around the internet. We don't want to talk about rumors, but is there ever going to be a time when yourself and Matt possibly meet again somewhere?
Well, if I told you no, I'd be lying to you and I'd be lying to myself. Again, with this this mentality, there's no. It is inevitable that our paths will cross again. Damascus did break me, that is true. And when he had taken something from me, when he became my breaker, isn't it ironic that then this virus struck and hell on earth is imminent. So it really is our story is not over. It can't be over. That's right. It's inevitable that our paths cross again. I feel damned that this coronavirus came when it did, because really it came right at the completion of Free the Delete. And I can't help but to think that was my ticket to bigger and better things, which has since been, put on hold, but, it's a...
Postponed.
Yes, postponed is probably a better word. But
we're just paused right now. That's it.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the direction we see things going, where the story isn't over, as you said, and it's inevitable that you meet again. And... Right. It's interesting because you're so self-motivated. Normally I'll ask someone what's next, but to me it's what's not next. What can't you do going forward? You're essentially ready for the next thing right now. And it's interesting to hear what your thoughts are on what's a goal. You've met so many goals already. What can you put in front of you next that you're going to conquer?
Well, you know, as we did allude to a little bit, we did talk about part of my past, again, living in Orlando, Florida. I've been fortunate enough. I've been on an episode of Impact. I've been on multiple. I've had 8 NXT television matches between some of the best that they've had. Gargano, Ciampa, McIntyre, Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm. Baron Corbin. The only one.
Say that again?
I said Baron Corbin. He is my nemesis.
Yes, you would love him. but no, you know, I've wrestled. I've had a great opportunities. I've done a WWE Performance Center tryout. I've wrestled on Impact. I'm the only one, as far as I know, that could lay claim that I'm the only unsigned talent that has wrestled Drew Galloway on Impact and wrestled Drew McIntyre on WWE NXT. So, ironically, those were within a month or so apart from one another. Unreal to be able to lay that claim. And then again, with this Matt Hardy stuff, I've wrestled him on the Independence in a match that him and his brother and, you know, multiple others had made famous, the ladder match. There's a lot of claims that people that I have conquered that people cannot make the same claim. Again, it's inevitable on what's next. Matt probably could have selected anybody to break, anybody to entrust in putting water into the roar, the reservoir of altering rebirth, but he selected me. And whether or not I contaminated roar is still up for debate. But all of these things have happened because I've made them happen. And so what's, to answer your question, what's next or what I foresee in my immediate future, if I were to have a glass crystal ball, I would say that next is some sort of television opportunity somewhere. The writing's on the wall of where makes the most sense. And I'm sure that you and the fans at home that are watching would agree. But with this wrestling climate, it could be anywhere.
And again, as I always say, Matt, I know you're watching, so
I'm gonna make him watch. I'm gonna send him the link.
Let's make it happen, Matt. I mean, you know, I want to see the rematch.
He's waiting.
He's waiting.
Well, you know, as my breaker, as Matt Hardy being my breaker. One thing is very interesting as well is perhaps him taking an essence from me has actually aligned the two of us. I know he's been having his issues with the Inner Circle. So if I was going to play a matchmaker here, I would say that he's inevitably going to need somebody outside of the Elite. And there's actually some speculation, some videos out there as well that speculate a more darker and ominous group at his helm, and I think that I would fit right in with that as well. Damascus, you see, Damascus, I don't think you've seen Damascus in his full potential in AEW yet.
Mm-mm. No. So everybody, get on your keyboards and go do a little bit of research on this. You will be pleasantly surprised what you find.
Yes, it's very interesting, and I love my adoring fans, my congregation, as I call them. Yes. They're diehards. They treat me so well, and I am I owe it to them to make something of myself. I feel like I have preached so long about making it to that next level, and I do everything that I can promotional wise or otherwise to market myself, market my capabilities and my abilities. And so I think it would be a slap in the face to my congregation if something didn't play out.
We all appreciate that. We appreciate the drive, and we appreciate you giving us that, giving the congregation what we're asking for.
Yes. Well, hey, that's probably the number one thing that people don't understand is, to become a fan favorite, and that doesn't matter what side of the fence you play on the heel or face side, good guy, bad guy, the fans want something, they desire something, and so give them what they want. You know, and so that's been my motto. I give you guys what you want. You want a t-shirt, I give it to you. You want girls to be wearing Ryzen stickers as pasties and on Instagram, I do it for you. There's literally, again, the sky's the limit. I give the fans, I give my congregation what they want when they want.
Again, Christopher, you have a best friend every episode.
Ryzen, I just make friends.
Ryzen likes giving
give
stuff away.
T-shirts,
you
give
like
out
giving
stickers.
Stuff away.
I love giving
it's
out
crazy.
Stuff. We're giving out t-shirts all the time. I just gave out three more today. I mean, we just became best friends. I mean, I got a big group now. We're going to have jackets, patches. It's going to be great.
Perfect.
Now you're waiting, right? We're essentially sitting and waiting for what's next. Sitting and waiting for him to come back and get you or summon you.
Right.
What kind of hobbies you got? What are you doing? What are you sitting around waiting doing right now? What's taking up your time while we wait?
Well, when I'm not locked in Matt Hardy's basement, basement waiting for Damascus to come and release me, there's a lot. I'm the constant. So I've done anything and everything to bide my time. I've written a best-selling book, which I ironically have right here.
Oh, how did that get there? Look at that. Where'd that come
from? What are the odds? But it's called Hell of a Confession.
Very cool.
And as you can see, it's it again is written as Ryzen. And what I did is I actually compiled confessions anonymously from my congregation, some of the dirtiest, filthiest stories that they would never tell if I didn't keep them anonymous. So I compiled them. I think of this as like a dirty chicken soup for the soul.
Oh,
I like it.
You will never hear that again on any other podcast.
No, never ever again.
No.
And so I compiled this full-fledged book, and I'm very proud of it. And, you know, and have done, I did all of the concept art and, of course, had somebody way more creative than I was. I just have the vision. I need the person to actually make that happen. But, yeah, you could buy that on Amazon. And so I've written a full-fledged book. It was number one in the erotic category of, I'm number one in something.
Number
hey,
one.
There you go.
But yeah, absolutely. For multiple weeks and just have been very blessed to have written something that had caught the attention of my congregation and more. Just constantly doing whatever I can to self-promote. So that's just some of my hobbies. You know, of course, every pro wrestler must maintain their physique. So a big gym goer. I'm a big fan of horror movies. If for those who have seen my tattoos, big music fan, big horror movie buff. So that takes a lot of my time as well.
Nice. Well, favorites. Now I have a couple of more questions for our favorites now that we've kind of touched into a little bit of horror, a little bit of music. So yes. Before we get into the more wrestling themed favorites, what's your favorite horror movie?
Well, my all-time favorite horror movie is Scream. And people are taken back by that. Usually they go Scream. Well, that's not really, you know, I mean, it's obviously a horror movie, but I think they imagine, you know, most people saying the Friday the 13th and the Nightmares on Elm Street, things of that nature, which are all great stuff. I have Freddy's Glove. I have Jason's Mask. I love the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But Scream was the one that really captured my imagination when it had first was released because, A, I was a young teen at the time, and, B, it was the revitalization of horror movies. Scream gets credit for bringing that genre back to life in the 90s, in my opinion. And so it really captured my imagination, and I've always been a fan of the Scream franchise. So that's my absolute favorite horror movie.
Nice. Now, are you a Freddy guy or a Jason guy?
So when Freddy versus Jason came out, I was amped about it. I have always been more of a Freddy guy. But I think the older I get, the more I think I appreciate Jason. So it's weird. But definitely Freddy, he's the king of the one-liners. And, he's just – Robert Englund is fantastic in that role. And I'm I'm praying to the Dark Lord below that that somehow he's able to come out and do hopefully one more film and erase the abomination that was the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot. It's horrible.
Favorite band or singer or...
Easy. All-time favorite band is Kiss. And then Ghost, Ghost BC, a lot of people know him as, but the band Ghost is up there as well. I mean, given the aesthetic, it's not hard to realize that, they've had a lot of influence in my career, but, I've always been a Kiss fan. Again, I must have something, for characters and, people who are larger than life. So, Kiss has always been, my number one, and, Gene Simmons specifically, when it comes to Kiss. Not only that, but he's my mentor, my muse, my, my idol. And most notably because of all of this, the branding and the ability to market. And he brought Kiss to the forefront. Kiss condoms and Kiss caskets to get you coming and going.
Yep.
The tagline's amazing.
Exactly. Favorite Kiss song.
Ooh, so that's awesome that you've asked that, because I've thought about this all the time. My favorite Kiss song is Black Diamond. So even though I'm a big Gene Simmons fan, Black Diamond, which is sang by the drummer, whoever is in the position of the drummer at that time, is my favorite Kiss song. So, but Kiss could do no wrong. I could listen to Kiss, any song by Kiss all day long.
I feel the same way about Def Leppard. I could listen to any Def Leppard album, any song, anything.
And I've seen Def Leppard open for Kiss.
I wasn't at that concert, but I saw that tour. And unfortunately, being a huge music fan that I am, that was the first time I ever saw Kiss and had the opportunity to really see them. So I didn't get to see them in their heyday. I was a little bit too young.
Right.
I was lucky enough to see them actually perform. So,
well, and I mean, even to this day, I still think they could do no wrong. Again, going back to the longevity, and not to go off on a tangent, but like Randy Orton just recently have been criticized somewhat for some of the stuff he has said about WWE NXT and about their crazy, what longevity they might bring to the ring. Kiss is very much the same. They've managed to be able to do this for so long and transcend all different styles of music and different years because they put on a show better than perhaps anybody ever. Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be all these rock shows that you see, I don't think, would be what they are without Kiss.
100% agree. 100% agree. Okay. Favorite city to wrestle in?
That's a hard one. You know, I have done so much, have traveled so much. I love traveling. I love being out there. I love airplanes. I love landing somewhere. A lot of people would probably think it's awful, but I love when, and I have, fortunately, some bookings are reopening. So, I'm literally going to wrestle in Cocoa, Florida on a Friday night. I catch an 8 a.m. flight, to Dallas the next day. I'm going to wrestle in Dallas. And then the next day I'm going to be on a flight elsewhere. I love that kind of crazy, hectic lifestyle. So really there isn't a specific favorite place. I did love my time in Canada. I traveled the road with Jake the Snake Roberts, every time I've been to Winnipeg or every time I've been to Canada, I've had some very fortunate opportunities. There's a company that I don't know if it's still around. He owns a collectible shop now, but there's Primos Wrestling in Winnipeg, and there was some other companies in Saskatchewan and stuff, but I've wrestled D.H. Smith in a tag match, and Brett happened to manage that matched, which again, going full circle, the opportunities that I've had in my life. So he, filmed, he actually ended up pulling out his iPhone and filming the tag match, just so he could watch it back later. But he managed D.H. Smith, as I said, traveled the road with Jake the Snake, wrestled Cole Cabana out there, wrestled Kazarian in a ladder match. So every time I had went to Winnipeg, something big, some opportunity had happened. So maybe I would say Canada, although it's, I don't know if we could cuss on here, but effing cold. And me coming from hell, it's quite a culture shock.
Yeah, you need to wear layers when you get there is what you're saying.
Yes.
Favorite opponent thus far in your career?
Again, there's so many on the independents. I go back to my brethren in Colorado. I've had so many good matches. The guy that I came up with in professional wrestling, his name is Jay Sin. We both sound like much like you guys. We're friends in high school, and we're both had a laser focus.
I hate this guy.
Oh, really? Okay, well, good. I miss. you're misrepresenting yourself. You guys seem like you get along so well. It's such a good facade you guys have.
You know, he tolerates me. I tolerate him. You know,
I just logged into the Zoom meeting and he was sitting here. I don't know what
you're like. And you hardly talked. It's crazy. It's like he told you to go sit in the corner and shut your mouth. It's insane. But yeah, so my buddy Jason, there was a guy named Aaron Alexander, or he was known as the Candyman out there, had fantastic matches with him. Trajan Ender was another guy who hasn't been active in independent wrestling that I always had good matches with. I traveled up and down the road with this guy, Caleb Crush. So there's a lot that in just that pocket of Colorado. For those who, of course, with the names that I've wrestled, I could say always something great about each one of them. I learned the most in one match with Jerry Lynn than I probably did my entire career of wrestling training. Just the way he was able to communicate in the ring, shift things on the fly, you know, tell the story was something that I will never forget. So Jerry Lynn, and now of course he's in AEW and passing his knowledge on to the stars of AEW, and there's not a better man for the job than Jerry Lynn. So Jerry Lynn, and then, you know, of course, Matt Hardy, Kazarian, be able to wrestle both of those guys in ladder matches. I've had a very tremendous career, and it's hardly even started, I would still say, even though I've been doing this for years and years and years.
And now I have to thank you, because now you've given me a new question to ask the next time we talk to somebody, which is going to be, who did you learn the most from?
Ah, so, there you go.
See, everybody's learning. Everybody's learning.
Yeah. Okay. I could go on and on. You take away something, especially when they've been around the business for that long. You take little morsels from just about everybody in order to put together a complete professional wrestler. I did camp with Les Thatcher and Harley Race. Learned a lot from that in my training years. I wrestled Butch Reed towards the tail end of his career, and I was young at the time. That was probably the first quote unquote name. And for those of you who don't know who Butch Reed is, shame on you. Go look him up. He was teamed with Ron Simmons long before the APA, you know, and when they told me I was wrestling him, I was again, very young, very green, and had approached him and said, you know, so what do you want to do? You know, you got some ideas for the match? Hey, don't worry about a thing, brother. We're talking out there. And it was just doing his wrist tape, and I shit my pants because I was like, what am I going to do? And then we had a tremendous match. Unreal, the way he was moving in his – I think he was in his 60s when I wrestled him. Athletic, fantastic. Again, you take away something. Every time you step into the ring, you should learn something new, no matter who you're wrestling.
He's wrestling at 60, and I don't even want to get out of bed and do like the lawn work on the weekend. And I'm just over 40. Good God, man.
Yes. Just recently wrestled Gangrel and learned a lot from him. I should be doing some stuff with him down south here soon for his asylum, which is fantastic. So,
I mean, it's a great kind of narrative of how to do things right, because I respect your whole answer there, because it wasn't all the big names and everything that you did get to wrestle when you got to a higher level. It's everybody who got you there. Everybody you worked with, everybody you learned from, as you grinded through your career and you continue to grind through your career, you leave that respect behind you. You leave that culture of I am going to take care of the business as I go through. So kudos to you. Kudos to you for a great answer and a great way of looking at wrestling as a whole.
Perfect. Thank you.
Subsequently, with all that background knowledge and everything, what has been your favorite moment so far?
Oh, so many moments.
It's hard. It's without feeling like here I am just name dropping all the time. I've just had a very, again, blessed life, and I don't, you know, and I, again, I don't mean blessed as in, what the good Lord, the man upstairs gave. I did that. I take all the credits. God be damned. I made all this stuff happen for myself. But, in Colorado, I was just always in the right place at the right time, had people, promoters from everywhere who had faith in me. So I was a part of Dr. Death's last run as a professional wrestler before he succumbed to throat cancer. Was in his last show. I was wearing a dress that night, long story. He smacked me on the ass, told me how hot I was, you know, things like that. Funny stories. But no, there's not, I just, as I proceed forward, I've just been, there's not one. There's, I couldn't tell you one. One thing, because there's so many, just so many blessed things. I had all the wrestling companies that have ever put me on their card, and even furthermore, those that make me their. They have enough faith in me to put me in their main events and to really carry their show through. There's not one specific.
Now we could already set up a part two with Ryzen here and get the down low on this dress and slap in the ass that happened.
I'm sure you could look it up. It's Asylum Championship Wrestling in Colorado Springs. Look up Dr. Death. Pretty much any show he was on, I was always doing something funny there at the time. Completely different character than you see here today, because I was still younger and 150 pounds soaking wet, and that was with rocks in my pockets, as Jim Cornette would probably say. So if you look up any of those, you'll be able to follow the storyline and how I ultimately lost to a woman and had to dress as a woman subsequently.
Gave us some homework. All right.
Yeah, exactly. The dream match. Taking all promotions out of the way, you can wrestle anywhere you want. Who is Ryzen's dream match against?
That's a very good question. You know, the more you get, you know, it's not quite about the who's anymore for me. It's not who. I don't really have a who, because I feel like I've accomplished a lot of that. I think it would be fantastic down the road to be brought in. If you were to give me just a scenario for you, I'll just leave you with this, where it would be perhaps members of House Hardy, and being a part of a faction similar to how they've done with when they did their stadium brawl and things like that, the Stadium Stampede match. So it would be like House Hardy, Jeff, Matt, myself, Rebbe on piano, and Senior Benjamin carrying his shovel, which I have heat with Senior Benjamin, don't get me wrong, for handing over a trash can to Matt Hardy. How dare him? Anyway, there, you know, House Hardy, don't roll your eyes at me. I'm looking right at you. But no, it would be something along those lines where I'm actually, on their side. We are adversaries in the Great War, and it doesn't matter who we would take on, but something in that could be cinematic and well represented. So I think that would be currently on my wrestling bucket list.
I love it. Out of the box. It's one thing when we just get the answer, and you know, if somebody just says, "Oh, it's against this person, it's against that person," but when we get I love the out of the box answers that people give us. And you know, the coming into the last question here, the last couple of episodes, we've kind of had some of these out of the box answers. Now some of them have been in the same realm of, you know, what we're talking about when it comes to cookies. Some of them, I mean, are totally out of left field, you know, but here we are. The final question. Yes. Oreo cookies. Yes. Are you a single stuff man or a double stuff man?
You know, out of all of the questions that you guys had predisposed for me and had me look over before this interview, that was the one I was most excited to answer, because just like every single one of these questions, I have a very unusual answer for you. I guess nothing I do is normal. So in that sense, what I actually do is I'm a huge Oreo fan. I'm going to start by saying the traditional Oreo. I don't like double stuff. I care less about the cream filling inside. What I do is I take a stack of Oreos like this and I drown them in a glass of milk for like 8 minutes. I make them as soggy as possible. Maybe 6 minutes, 6 minutes, 6 minutes. But yes, no, and I drowned them until they are just a mishmash of chocolate gunk, and I spoonful it right down the gullet. So that is how I eat my Oreos. I drowned them. They have a slow and painful death, and then I eat them whole.
That might be the greatest answer we have gotten so far.
It's so good.
We are very much double stuff guys, and this argument goes on and on about single stuff, double stuff. But you know what? For this podcast, I am going and getting Oreos, regular Oreos, and I am shoving them in a glass of milk and letting them drown a slow death and spooning them into my mouth, because that sounds amazing.
Absolutely. It's the only way to eat them. I will change your life if you eat them that way. Trust me on that. The actual cream filling in the middle is the least of your worries. Forget those. It's all about the actual cookie themselves, and it's about that gooey goodness that you actually repossess when you indulge.
Well, I completely disagree about the inside filling, but I completely agree about drowning them in milk. So,
Hey. Let's just agree to disagree.
See, and now I am probably going to blow the minds of probably every person that listens to this, including Matt Hardy.
Including you, Matt Hardy.
I have never, ever in my life eaten an Oreo cookie, whether it be double stuff, single stuff, mega stuff, huge stuff, whatever stuff, with milk ever in my
Buffett's
entire life.
Stuff.
Never.
What?
I never. Never. I know.
I don't even know you. I'm going to head out.
Never.
I don't even know you, man.
Maybe I should leave.
Cookie right there on the package.
I'm not a dunker. I am not a dunker. I'm sorry. Then I know I lost all credibility.
We're going to have to redo this whole podcast because I don't even know what's going on anymore. This is just...
I actually forbid you from posting it. This is a travesty. You should have told me that before I even agreed to come on this show.
Now no one's ever going to want to answer this question ever again because I don't eat my dang Oreos with milk.
Well, while I sit here and recover, Ryzen, we thank you for the time you've given us tonight.
Thank you.
This is the time for you. So please let everyone, let all of your congregation know how they can go find you, how they can go support you. What are your little digits and names and handles that they can go find you at?
Perfect. Well, where do I start? You can find me anywhere. You can find me on Twitter at Hail Ryzen. And that's just for those who may not know me yet. It's HAIL RYZ IN. You can find me on the same handle on Instagram. I am most active on both of those social medias. You can find me as Rob Risen, which is my previous name before I became a reverend and started taking on my my reverend persona through Facebook. And they won't let me change my name on Facebook, even my fan page. I don't understand. But anyway, you can find me on all of those. You can YouTube me. You can find all pretty much all of those matches that I have since described to you on YouTube. You can buy my book, Hell of a Confession, on Amazon. It is available on Prime, so you are able to get that. ProWrestlingTees.com/Rob Risen has literally some of the, in my own opinion, some of the best designed shirts because I take, you know, I take a lot of pride in, which is one of my favorite sins, by the way. I take a lot of pride in making sure that I'm releasing something to the congregation that they could wear to a rock show, a wrestling show, virtually anywhere, and be recognized for wearing some great threads and also be hip with the ladies if you wear one of my shirts. Will get men laid, and they'll have a. I don't know. I got nothing else clever.
Well, if that doesn't bring happiness to your life, I don't know.
Yeah, they'll get you laid. That was it.
Yeah, all of those things.
The Gene Simmons approach here.
We'll keep working on it.
All of those things are going to be in our. Are we going to be in our credits today? So we'll have all that after the episode, just in case you didn't have a chance to write it down and you don't want to just rewind like 30 seconds. All that will be up there at the end of the episode. So we'll get it up there. Risen, once again, thank you so much for joining us today. We are proud new members of your congregation. If you will have us.
Yes.
Well, I don't know about you. I don't really want you because you don't use milk with your Oreos. But no, you're both welcome. You both are welcoming members to my congregation. Hallelujah to both of you guys. Hail Risen. And welcome to the congregation. Don't forget to check out my lovely Sisters of Sin as well if you are on Instagram. Because again, I have my Sisters of Sin sometimes accompany me to the ring. Some of the female fanatics that I have, the nuns of my congregation, they are fantastic out there as well. And they have their own Instagram page that they use.
Outstanding.
We will add them as well.
They'll all be there at the end.
Yes. Well,
we've come to the end. We're here at the end of the interview now. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We appreciate the time. We appreciate the Reverend of Sin Risen for joining us and giving us some valuable time tonight. Go hit that like button. Go hit that subscribe button. Go follow all the different links that Chuck's going to put at the end and make sure to go check out Risen. Go buy a book on Amazon Prime. It can probably get here like tomorrow if you order it right now.
Go read something.
What are you doing here still? Go order it. We'll talk to you next time.